Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's take our confession. I tell you, this 2024 confessions. Oh, my goodness. Hey. I tell you, it's always meant everything because it's the word of the Lord. But it means as the days go by, as the weeks go by, as the months go by, it means more each day, each passing day. It means so much more. It means so much more. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. 2, 3, go. 2024 is my year of God class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places, and I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my Father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities and the walls of Jericho are falling. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kayo de Tadeshe, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own bucket, and you will have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shout it out like, say, I believe it, 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 I believe it. Woo! I believe it, I believe it. I am a believer. I believe every word. Every single word of God. Woo! Glory to God. Please go ahead and be seated. How many minutes do I have? Oh my goodness, already 12:30. Oh my goodness, what dragged this service so long? It's already 12:30, can you believe that? And I didn't even start ministering the word yet. Okay, I'll just go until 1 o'clock. Hallelujah. We'll continue next time. We'll continue next time. The Lord is helping us. Glory to God. Well, I started ministering on this last week. So, that's foundation, you know, it'll be laying foundation for a while. Earlier in the year from, I think, February or so, we were ministering on, I know who I am. Born of God, I know who I am. But I'm taking a little detour as I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. My friends, the only way to get God's best in your life is to give your heart completely. Completely. Your heart has to be completely sold out to Jesus. That is the only way. That is the only way. If you are going to make it, if you are going to prosper, hallelujah. You cannot be led by your mind. This is foundation. There's only one door through which God accesses your life. It is your heart. If your heart is not completely yielded and completely open to the Lord, you will miss God. You will miss out. If your heart is not completely, every day, folks, every day believers are making decisions, young and old. I see them everywhere. Every day, believers are making decisions. Every day, making decisions. 99.99% make decisions from the mind. they lean. We lean so heavily on the mind. And the mind is so blind. The Bible says the mind has been blinded by the god of this world. The only thing that can even come close to touching God is the heart. My friends, I don't have any sophisticated message for you in this season. I don't have any highly technical message for you. The only message the Lord has told me to minister to you in this season, keep the serpent out of your garden. You have the authority. Keep the serpent out of your garden. Tell him, no access. This is the season of the viper. This is the season of the viper. He's going, he's biting. It doesn't start with a bite. He cuts it. He cuts it like, was that sugar you said the other day, Mrs. Omero? With sugar, yes. Or chocolate or honey. It makes it look sweet and attractive. But the moment you begin to just lick on it and you think, oh, this is so good. Pew! The poison comes. The poison comes. He's looking to devour. He's looking to steal. Look at that confession. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. Somebody say, I'm undercover. God wants you undercover, my friends. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim, see what wonders God has done for them. That's Open Heaven's theme this year. See what wonders. They will have to say, see what, because it will not make sense. How did this happen? How did this? There is no natural explanation. How did this happen? Nobody knows. See what wonders God has done for them. You will not be exempt from the wonders of God. I say you and your family will not be exempt from the wonders of God in Jesus' mighty name. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. Misfortune is in the street. Misfortune is in the street. Remember what Peter said? He said, your adversary, the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who? Whom he may. Well, tell him, you may not devour me, Satan. I cannot be devoured. I cannot be devoured. Hallelujah. I cannot, absolutely cannot be devoured. Seeking whom? He's prowling in the streets. He's prowling in the streets, seeking whom he may devour. But me, I am undercover. And it is a very strong cover. You know, we've had a home many years ago where we started having the roof started leaking, and we went to insurance. We thought insurance would fix. Insurance said no, it's not covered. I tell you what, we are under Jesus' cover. Jesus cover, no roof leaking. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Say with me, I am under cover. Say it again, I am under cover. I am shielded. I'm protected from every misfortune. Every misfortune. I am under cover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days. He will not touch me. He will not. He can't touch me. You cannot touch me. I am undercover. I'm already inoculated. I'm vaccinated. I'm very deep in this. I'm an extremist. It takes extremism in spiritual things to overcome the adversary of your soul. It takes extremism. I am extremely watchful. I watch a lot. I study a lot. I am extremely conscious. I'm very conscious. I don't sleep. You know, Bible says, you know, the night somewhere in Romans, you know that the time is far gone. It is now time to awake, he says. It's time. You cannot keep sleeping. The day is far gone. Our salvation is at hand. You cannot keep sleeping. You can't keep saying this is the way it's always been for the last 15 years, for the last 10 years, for the last 5 years, for the last, this is the way. No, you cannot keep sleeping. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Until you wake up, heaven cannot be released upon you. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Sometimes people say, are you trying to over-spiritualize? No, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize. I'm telling you what is the real situation. You want to know what it is to over-spiritualize? Let that viper bite you. You will know what it means to be over-spiritualized. I am undercover. I believe it with every fiber of my being. Beginning from my heart, everything. That's why you see, I'm always very passionate. My passion comes from my heart. I believe it. I'm not playing games. It's not for video. It's not for television. I'm not going to pray hard 1 minute, and then the next minute, I start acting like a fool. It's not going to happen. Because that prayer came from my heart. I prayed with everything I had. Nothing was left. So it takes me a minute to get back to be normal. I believe with every fiber. Every word you hear me preach to you, I believe it. Take it seriously. I believe with every fiber of my being. It's one of my greatest salvations too, as a child of God and as a minister of the gospel. Because I really believe it. When you believe the word, God can meet you. No matter who you are, no matter your personality, no matter your flaws, no matter your disadvantages, no matter your weaknesses, if you really believe the word of God, if you really believe from your heart, God can always connect with you. God can always connect. Where God is hampered, where God becomes limited, is when you are serving him through your mind only. And that is called religion. He gave me that definition. Religion is serving God through your mind only. Christianity is a relationship walking with God every day from your heart. From your heart. From your heart. I'm sorry, I'm just preaching at you now. I'm supposed to be teaching this. But I'm preaching at you, number one, because I found out I have very limited time. So I don't know how much of this I can teach. And then number two, it's just really bubbling over. It's just really bubbling over. I can't help it. There's too much supernatural going on. I kid you not. I deceive you not. There's too much supernatural going on. I told you on Mother's Day, after Pastor Tinu's message, I said sometimes it's like watching a movie. You're just watching a movie. You see things. You just see things unfolding. You see things playing out. And people are saying, why? How? But because of spiritual understanding, you can connect dots. It's too much supernatural. Too much supernatural going on. Let's go here. John 10. Let me read a couple of verses at least to close today. Give you something from the word of God to close today. John chapter 10, let's read from verse 1. Verily, from verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. There's only one access that God has created into your life. It is your heart. I told you last week, I'm going to be teaching this at three levels. First, your individual life, your life. Number two, your family, your home. Number three, the body of Christ, your house of worship, your fellowship, your church. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Who is the thief and the robber, folks? It's the devil. Notice, he does not enter by the door. Notice, you see, he that entereth not, he does not enter by the door. Satan's greatest ability in your life is to have access to anything outside of your heart. That's his greatest ability. Your greatest weakness spiritually is to not have your heart completely turned over to the Lord. See where he said in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door, right? And I knock. What door? What door is he knocking on? Not your mind. The Lord doesn't, your mind comes later. You engage your mind later. Your mind is supposed to carry out decisions that are made in your heart between you and the Lord. Then your mind will create ways, many ways to get it done. But you don't start from your mind. The tragedy of life, the catastrophe of life, is that the original decision most people make is in their mind, not in their heart. Most people cannot say to you, if you ask them, they're going to do something and you say, is that what the Lord wants you to do? Most people cannot say, yes, that's what the Lord wants me to do. They can't. You know why they can't? Because it's not what the Lord wants them to do. Many times they don't even bother checking. They think, oh, well, it makes sense. This is what makes sense. Jesus said, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Somebody say, thief, no way for you here. Say, robber, no way for you here. Said in verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then in verse 10 and 11, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they may have life. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, folks. There's nothing better than the life Jesus gives. There's nothing better than the life Jesus gives. He says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it how? More abundantly. Then he said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for our shepherd. Thank God for our shepherd. It's like parents, you know, and children. The Lord was showing me this. Like parents and children. You know, last week during my message, you saw me using ED for an illustration, didn't you? I was saying to, that's our son, I was saying, you know, if I want you to stand up, and I said, get up. I mean, your mind will argue with it. You say, well, why? I mean, I'm sitting down here, I'm just minding my own business, I'm listening to this good sermon. Your mind will argue with it. But if I massage your mind a little bit, and if I say to you, you know, son, you know, I think it would be good to, you know, have some illustration for this message I'm preaching. And I think it would be nice for people to actually see a visual representation of some of the things that I'm talking about. And as I said, do you think it's a good idea that I have you stand up? Oh, absolutely. In fact, he stood up before I said he should stand. And then he'll be happy to stand permanently. Why? Because I appealed to his mind. Let me tell you something. God never appeals to your mind. Everything from the beginning was a command. Everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament is full of commands. Commands. Why do we stumble so much? We stumble so much because we want our minds to be massaged. We want God to explain to us why. Eve failed because she wanted an explanation. Why should we not eat this tree? Why should we not eat this fruit? And the only person who was willing to provide that explanation was the devil. Look through the Bible. It is full of commands from the Old to the New Testament. The Bible started with a command and it will end with a command. Think about all the things that happened in the Old Testament. What did God say to Lot and his wife? What did God say to them? What, through the angels? Leave and then what? And then don't look back. Why? Did he tell them why they shouldn't look back? But then what happened? Somebody looked back. Why? Why? Why was it in the garden? Why was it in the garden? It was Eve who disobeyed. Why was it when God said, don't look back? It was Lot's wife. Why? God commands. You know why God commands? Because God's command connects with your heart. It takes faith and trust to obey God's commands. When God commands you, say, yes, sir. That's it. End of story. Yes, sir. So many people, even in the church, majority of people in the church, why? I want to know why. You know, people even tell you, I didn't go to school and get this degree for nothing. Huh? I have this degree. I want to know. You can't know many things. You can't know why. You have to trust God. See, it began with a command. When Jesus rose from the dead, and when he was about to go on to heaven, what did he say to them? I've been preaching on this on Wednesdays. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And then what did he say? Go therefore and do what? And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them the things that I've commanded you. The things that I've commanded you. And look at the New Testament. It's full of command. It's full of command. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. What is my commandment? Love. God didn't say, well, let's just talk about it. You know, sometimes people are just so unlovable. They get under your skin, under your last nerves if you have one. For those kind of people, I'm going to excuse you. You don't have to love them. You can curse them. You can give them the finger. You can. I understand. I know how you feel. I know how you feel, daughter. I get it, son. Curse them. Yeah, you know, well, that's what he said. Then he went and brought, you know, he said, you. If somebody asked me, how many times does my brother, you know, sin against me? Seven. He said seven times the guy thought he was doing something big. Seven times? I have a feeling it was Peter who asked this question. Hallelujah. Peter was a man of the mind. Jesus said to him, you are gonna deny me. He said, not me. Everybody else will leave. I'll be here. What was leading Peter? His emotion. Remember how he got upset with the father, with the master. Jesus said, do you love me? Do you? He kept asking. The third time he asked, you know. Seriously, Jesus was asking him. He was the mind man. when God lowered the curtain from heaven with the unclean animals, God said, eat. Did he explain to him why? You kill and eat, he told him. It's a command. Peter said, uh-uh. From the day I was born, I've never touched anything unclean. Like he's telling God, the same God who created him, he's telling him, right? Like, let's talk about this, Lord. This, I mean, have you thought this through? Are you sure you understand what you're saying? I mean, let's think about these are unclean animals. Does it make sense? What did God say? Kill and eat. Kill and eat. My friends, a lot of the instructions God gives you will not make sense. If God gives you an instruction and it makes perfect sense, check it again. Where we begin to fail, my time is almost up. Yeah, I have so much to say. Where we begin to fail my friends, this viper wants to keep you in cycles. Satan works in cycles. He wants to keep you in cycles. And the way he gets to keep most human beings in cycles, making them live through their minds. Make decisions. Do you know why it's so silly to make all these decisions from our minds? Because our minds are so limited. We can't see. We can't see beyond. Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of the see, the hear, the feel, the touch, senses. So he wants us operating at the level of our senses. He riles us up emotionally. He riles us up emotionally. Do you know how many people have made life, consequential life decisions based on how they felt in the moment? Do you know how many people have done this? Do you know how many people have taken their own lives and died by suicide just because they didn't feel like living right now? My friends, with a shepherd's heart of compassion, and I know I'm speaking to more people here than those that are seated in this room, I'm sure. Wherever this word goes, my friends, let's conquer the enemy. Amen. Let's conquer. It begins from our heart. Day after day, do you know how many people in their families are making decisions by their minds? Do you know how many financial decisions are being made by the mind? People don't even wait. Let's check. Let's be sure. Let's hear from the Lord. Satan just wants to keep you in cycles because he knows when once you make those decisions from your mind, this is the pattern of it, saints. Listen to me. Listen, this is the way it works. Once you make those decisions from your mind, he knows what's going to happen. God isn't going to bless it. You are going to go like 10 years struggling, looking for the blessing. But you won't get it. Because you can only connect with God from the heart. When you make those decisions, life decisions, important decisions, significant, you make them from your mind. And your mind is so limited. And your mind is influenced by the God of this world. Lord, put your hands on your forehead. Say, I receive understanding in the name of Jesus. It's so limited what I can say to you in the English language. But if the Holy Spirit transmits it to you, something can happen. Do you know why it gets more difficult as people get older to make good decisions? As people get older, it gets more difficult to make good decisions. You know why? Because they have lived their lives in cycles. They have lived their lives in cycles.
the same fundamental ways in which they made those decisions earlier on in their lives that took away 10 years and took away 20 years, that's exactly the same way they are going to continue to make those decisions, because they live their lives in cycles, because they live their lives in cycles. But the easiest way to connect with God is to give him your heart. Do you know the most important, the most powerful, the most amazing decision you have ever made in your life as a child of God? Do you know what that decision was? It's giving your life to Christ. Giving your life to Christ. Let me ask you, what role did your mind play in that? Did you think to yourself, oh, well, so and so, you know, is a Christian. Let me be a Christian too. I think it might be good. Is that how you got saved? Because if that's how you got saved, you are not yet saved. I'll pray for you before I close today. You are not yet saved. We have to get you saved properly. If how you go, you attend church. If how you go, who you marry, what careers you pursue in your life, right? Who you give authority to speak into your life. I don't know about you. The place of authority over my life is extremely significant. I will not be alive today if not for the authorities that God used to speak over my life. I would have died a long time ago. But how do people think about it? They say, oh, he's just a man. He's just a man. No, he's not. If he's truly anointed, if he's a true shepherd, and I know not every shepherd is a true shepherd. I know not everyone who preaches behind a pulpit really hears from God. I know that. That's just basic truth. But if that person is, if they hear the word of the Lord, if they know how to follow God, and God empowers them and gives them the authority to speak over our lives, we are the better for it. We are the better for it. I am personally the better for it. I am personally the better for it. I'm so thankful to the Lord. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Let me try to close this. How did he give your life to Christ? Your heart. Your heart, right? Your heart. You didn't even think about it. Well, you may have thought about it a little bit, but it didn't make sense. You just said, okay, I believe. You gave your life to Christ. Let's look at a couple of scriptures just before I close here. I'm going to close right here. 5-10 minutes, I'll be done. So don't fret. Just I'll close in a minute. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look verse 20 to 23. And then Hebrews 13, verse 9. Let's look at those two scriptures real quick. We're going to close right there. Well, Proverbs 4, 20 to 23, Luke 6, 43, 45, Hebrews 13, 9. We'll close right there. Let's look at it real quickly and close here. Proverbs 4, 20. Let's start from 20. Verse 20. Thank you. Proverbs 4, 20. Look at this. My son, my daughter, you just look on the screens right there. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Pay attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Go on to the next verse. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your mind. No. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let's pause for a minute. How does the word of God get in your heart? Does the word of God settle in your heart the day you hear it? No, it does not. Most of us, me, the preacher included, you too, listening to me today included, everyone under the sound of my voice, and anyone who's ever listened to the word of God preach, the first time you hear that word, it registers a little bit
through your mind, but within a few minutes, it's gone. It's gone. I don't care how much attention you paid in the service. I don't care how much attention you paid when you were reading it. It registers for a minute, it's gone right afterwards. How does it stay in your heart? I was saying to someone yesterday, Pastor Tino was right beside me. I said, you've gone full circle. In 20 years, you've gone full circle. You are right back to where you started. 20 years of wandering around spiritually. 20 years. Right back to where you started. Why? Why? My son, this word, it doesn't respect that you go to church or what church you go. It doesn't respect how big your Bible. The only reason the church matters is, well, maybe it's unadulterated, the word that is ministered. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit gives revelation to the vessel. Maybe the priority is given to the word. I mean, the different churches have different priorities. I tell you right now, our priority at Abundant Life is the word of God. It's our foundation. Now, as the Lord has, and you know, we've gone through a number of transitions through the years, and especially the last maybe 5 years of this expansion and just sowing seeds in different places, because then it always takes away from what we currently have. We have to send it somewhere else, and we have to have people go somewhere else. So it constantly sucks out. So then it leaves us with this precarious state where we don't have it all. We don't have everything we want to have. Don't listen to me with your mind. Listen with your heart. Let the Lord say something to you through what I'm saying to you right now. It can help you. But Jesus is the head of the church. He's the door. He's the shepherd. He's the one giving all these instructions. And he has a perfect plan. Now, as we do all this now, obviously, then we have to, the foundation is great. It's awesome. The foundation is awesome. It's the word, right? But then we have to build out that foundation. We have to do many applications of that foundation so that people are healthy in their family lives. They're healthy in their children are healthy. Their finances are healthy. But you have to get that foundation first. Once you have that foundation, now it takes time sometimes. That's just the way it works. Unfortunately, it's difficult. Some of you might not be able to stay while that is going on. You may have to find somewhere else where all your needs are met in the moment. Praise God. We bless you. We love you. Some of you may well be sent here to help us get that vehicle to where it's going. It takes time. It does take time. I'm telling you as a shepherd, and I love you. I'm telling you with all my heart. It takes time. But the most important thing, the foundation never changes. The foundation is the word of God. What is our vision at Abundant Life International Church? Our God-given vision. Listen to that vision. From the over 20 years, our God-given vision is to be a word-based international ministry aimed at imparting the abundant life of Christ into every area of people's lives while discipling them through the accurate teaching and proclamation of God's word. That's the vision. It's never changed. What is the center of this vision? It's the word. It's a foundation. We wanna have a level, and we're going there. The Lord is taking us there. Across everywhere, there is an expression of abundant life. He's taking us there, right, where there's a good expression of that. Because then when you have that foundation, you want to make it attractive too. You want young people to be blessed by it. You want children to be blessed. You want families. But it takes time. It does take time. And it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of resources. We just got off the guys off in Charlotte Church. We just officially, they did their thing, opened their bank account. It takes a lot of resources. They are trying to do a lot of what we are doing here, and they are using the resources that God gives to them to do, not just Charlotte, say Akron, same thing in India. I mean, yeah, I can't tell you. In Pakistan, I was telling somebody this past week, Pakistan, they sent us an SOS. His Pastor Stella is online. She's hearing this. She sent us an SOS. Summer is almost here. Their meeting space is so hot, so uncomfortable. They asked for just 2 cooler fans. You know what cooler fans are? Many of you don't even know what that is. It's like, it's air conditioning. It's what we are used to in America. Many of these places in these countries, cooler fan. So it's a device. You have to pour water into it, put some ice or ice cubes or something like that into it, and run it, or water, and run it. And it has a cool feature where it helps you kind of control the humidity in the room so you feel more comfortable. Right? That's a cooler fan. Listen, many of these people can't even ask for air conditioning. You say, we can't even sit in the summer. Can you? Yeah, I said, yeah, tell them. Tell them we're sending them 2 next month. That's this month, June. I mean, somebody can say, yeah, why do you use that money to do that? Is it because we don't have needs? There are bigger needs than you can imagine, I'm telling you. Why? See, when we stand before the head of the church, and I guarantee you this, I don't care how big, beautiful the edifices are, the carpets, all of that glitz, it soon passes away. Forget it. It's not material. It's not important. My friends, when we stand before the head of the church, and he said, you remembered my people in that forgotten corner of the world. You know, government will not even let them take money. Every way we try to send them money, corporately, government shut it down. The only way we were able to send resources to this Pakistan mission was, I'm going to say, I'm not going to put it on camera here, so because you know where. But Pastor Stella had to use her personal account. She had to take ministry funds from ministry account and put it in her personal account. And then they will let them have it. Then they let them have it. My friends, when we stand before the head of the church, I don't know what you are doing with your money, but I hope you are prioritizing the kingdom of God. I hope you tithe. That's the least you can do. I hope you are not doing all these other things. I'm saying God understands. The only thing God understands is you don't put him first. I've been warned not to say anything about it. So I won't say much about it. But I just, you know, I know eventually. You know, these India guys, that their church they're building is almost here. It's a beauty. We haven't sent them any money for that church. We send them money for the missions and the missionaries. And he warned me, we must not show photo. We must say, yeah, there will be no photo. But every time I look at what they're doing, I'm just impressed. Now they ask all the time, if you are listening to me, Pastor Ashish, I know this is true. Yeah. He said, man of God, yeah, if you just give us some more money, the more people, you know, if our missionaries, they want more, our families, they need more. Yeah, I know. What he doesn't understand is even what we give is by faith, completely by faith. He has no clue. My friend, but when we stand before the head of the church, guess who's going to be waiting out there waiting for their crown and their rewards, my friends? We don't have a glass cathedral. We don't have palatial mansions with whatever. And God will bless you as you serve him, right? God will bless you as you serve him. There's nothing wrong with that. But he would also call you to a life of sacrifice. And that life of sacrifice, we have lived now for 40 years. 40 years. So, what I'm saying to you is, as I close, the foundation is first. So we have to walk through it. All of us have walked through it. We've walked through it, right? There are times when we've had to sacrifice something for something else and just to keep moving forward. Just to keep moving forward. And those who are called to be there and those who are called to be a part will be joyful in making those sacrifices and they'll do what they need to do. Those who are not called to be a part, you know, will just joyfully move, find somewhere else where they don't have to do all of that. But I know what we are doing is what the Lord sent us to do. And that is what we are going to continue to do. It's not going to change. Period. And I've sworn with my life to give everything I have to doing the work of the Lord in every one of these places. I won't be everywhere at the same time. I can't be. No human being can be. But I've subscribed my life to be in where as many. I'm committed. I'll be there when I need to be there. Hallelujah. I'll shepherd God's people. I'll give my life. Everything in my, not die, you know, because Jesus already died. Yeah, so it doesn't need me to die for that. But I'll give everything. No, serious, I mean that. I want you to get with your spirit. I'm not trying to be funny. Jesus already died. He doesn't need another person to die for the church. But what I'm saying is, he says there's no greater love than that one lay down his life. That means things that are most important to you, you lay down for your brothers and your sisters. I'm willing. I told him that. And I said, I'll do it for one. Recently, I took a 16-hour trip to minister to one person. Just one person. I'm taking another trip tomorrow to minister to one person. 10-hour, one-day trip. One person. I said, I'll do it for one. It doesn't matter to me. I'll do it. You don't even want to know. That's the calling. So, as you serve God, let's close. Let's finish that scripture in Proverbs chapter 4. Here we're closing. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The word, right? Is that the word? Keep the word in the midst of your heart. How do you keep the word in the midst of your heart without hearing it again? You can't do it. How many people hear the word? They hear the word, great messages, oh, awesome. Or they read, or they study the word, great. They got a revelation. They did. But by the next day, they are right back. I used to wonder years ago, why is it we have to keep going through this over and over? We get a breakthrough, we have to go over it again. We get a breakthrough. Well, because the word doesn't stick. You have to make the word stick. You have to make that word stick. Just because I preach it today and you feel good about it and you got a revelation does not mean you will remember next week. You won't remember. I'm telling you. Because sometimes I listen to some messages I preached and I couldn't say, hey, what's that? This is the first time I'm hearing that. So we have to make the word stick. How do we do that? We go back and we meditate it. We meditate it. You meditate that word until it becomes. Listen, if you are serving God with your heart, you cannot go year to year and be the same person. You cannot. It's impossible. There are already some changes in my life this year alone. In my life this year. Just based on his word. You can't go 10 years, 15 years. You are hearing the word and nothing. The words coming out of your mouth are exactly the same as they were 10 years ago. The way you approach life is exactly the same way it was 10 years ago. Then you are not, your heart is not given to the Lord. You are not, the word is not getting into that heart. The way to know if the word is hitting your heart is to check your food. Put on, what's that?
Let them get, let's finish this and let's read one last scripture. Let them not depart out of your heart. Let from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Go to the next one. And for they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Last one, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? 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 For out of your heart are the issues of life. Out of your heart, the forces of life, out of your heart, the matters of life flow. You have to guard the heart. You have to guard the heart. The serpent, the viper, will send something to bite you and put poison in your bloodstream so that your heart can become corrupted. You have to say, no! Why do I tell people, tell my ministers, my pastors, don't listen to negativity? Some people think it's because you don't want people to hear what negative things people are saying about you. Do I care? Yeah, I don't care. I do not care. I'm telling you, honest, God is my witness. I don't care. It is for you, your protection. Because once that thing gets in your bloodstream, spiritual bloodstream, you are in trouble. Many people are stuck in life because they've received this poison of the viper year after year after. You can see it. You can see it. They can't break loose from it. You've heard that thing. It's gone to your... And you know what? What happens? What happens when you get a snake bite? Right? It puts something into your bloodstream. And sometimes people die from it. Doesn't it sometimes go to your heart? There are a lot of people who spend their time just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking nonsense. Not the word. And as they are talking nonsense, they are listening to nonsense. And they think, oh, I'm good. No, you're not. You're not good. Because that thing is going into your system. One time somebody came and told me, one of our leaders came from somewhere far. I need to talk to you about one of your leaders. I don't have time to listen. I can pray with you. I don't have time for that. Because I'm not going to let you weaken my... No, I have too much focus. I don't have time for that nonsense. And I said, if you're just talking and talking and talking and talking nonsense. You see people how weak they are. They're so weak. Because their hearts have been corrupted. People who should have so much power in their lives, they are so weak because they've had nonsense and nonsense and nonsense. They can't even get up. They don't have the energy to move. They're paralyzed spiritually. And some people specialize in this. You talk about ministers and you talk about the church. And it's not your assignment. Leave it alone. He said, I heard this pastor did this. I heard this man of God did this. I heard that apostle did it. They leave it alone. You don't have time for it. Don't let the devil poison you. Don't let him shortchange your destiny. If it affects you, it's directly in your way. Just get yourself out of it and move somewhere. But the ones that are not around, you are just hearing all this. And you know, in the days of social media, there are things happening in one corner of Kenya right now. You will hear it in America within 5 minutes. Social media. In the past, it used to take like 1 year. Because people have to travel or newspaper, something. Now, in 2 minutes. And there's so much corruption. There's so much evil. You have to stop it. And let me speak with authority here in Abundant Life. Don't do it. Don't you ever open your mouth and speak negatively about any of God's servants. Don't do it if you worship here. Don't do it. Number two, don't you help yourself. It doesn't change anything for me. Don't you. So somebody wants to start. Thank you. I pray with you. I pray for you. Thank you. And just move on. Don't you do it. Because your energy is so little. You don't have that time. You don't have that energy. The viper is out. It's raging. I've dealt with so many of those vipers. You stop it in its tracks. You stop it. Recently, somebody came to me, oh, Yana, did you hear about that pastor? And I said, stop it. Stop it. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for it. You go find somebody who has time. Talk to them. So I'm going from one place to the other, doing what God sent me. You say, I have time? I don't have time. And life is too precious. I can't play that game. I can't play that game and put myself in harm's way and let the devil kill me young. I can't let it happen. There's too much riding on my assignment or my family. Don't do it. Do it. Guard your heart. Somebody say, I'm going to guard my heart. I love you. I love you. If I sound harsh, forgive me. I love you. So somebody say with me, I'm going to guard my heart. Say it. I'm going to guard my heart. Here, let's close. Let's close. There's two more scriptures. Luke 6. There's two more scriptures. Let's go through. Thank you. Luke 6:43-45. Look at it right there. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Go on to the next verse. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Go on. A good man. I want you to listen to this now. A good man and a good woman. Listen to this now. Out of the good treasure of the mind? No, of his heart. Of their heart. What do? They bring forth that which is good. A good man, a good woman, out of the good treasure of their heart. What do? They bring forth good fruit. If you are a good man or a good woman, you can only produce good. This has nothing to do with how long you have been saved. There are people who have been saved 30 years and they are still acting like spiritual babies. Still going around, following their minds. Still going around, following their emotions. Spiritual babies in the nursery. Sorry, old men in the nursery. He said, I've been saved 40 years. I've been saved 40 years. But when you hear the words coming out of their mouth, you say, ah, you've been saved 40 years? And you're still so full of this carnality, all these words coming out of your mouth? And you say, 40 years. Why? They've heard the word for 40 years. It hasn't got into their hearts. So what is produced after 40 years is still junk. Because the word goes to their mind and it stops. But it never gets to their heart. The word of God cannot get to your heart and you remain the same person. It is impossible. It is absolutely impossible. The word of God breaks barriers. The word of God changes lives. You can feel angry over something. You can be emotionally troubled over something. Sometimes you just want to kick somebody. You just want to slap somebody. You know how sometimes we're all, emotion just rages within us sometimes. And then you get before the Lord and the word of God. And you just find something before you know what's going on. He took it all away. Because the word hit your heart. When the word hasn't hit your heart, when it's still in the mind, you're still raging with that emotion. And then you're still going to go and do it. You will still do it. Because the word didn't touch your heart. The day the word touches your heart, my friends, you cannot year after year after year be the same person and tell me the word touches your heart. It has not. Out of the good treasure of his heart. And an evil man, evil woman, out of the evil treasures of their heart. What do they bring forth? That which is evil. That which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's what's there. It's what's there. When you hear something coming, it's there. That corruption is there in the heart. It's only the word of God that can change it. That unbelief is in the heart. That fear that cripples. I'm talking about spiritual authority and dominion on Wednesdays, right? We're teaching on that. You cannot take authority over Satan when Satan has his goods in your heart. You can't bind the spirit of lying. You can't bind the spirit of adultery. You can't bind the spirit of whatever it is. When there is all that in your heart and you will not stop it. You will not say, I rebuke you, devil. Get out of my heart. Remember one time Satan was coming to Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, he's coming. He's coming. He said, but the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. That's what he said. He has nothing in me. When you have Satan's goods, you are in trouble. If you have Satan's goods, and then you are saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name will not work. Because you have in your heart something that belongs to Satan. That's why many prayers are not answered. Because people are keeping Satan's goods in their hearts. And they are rebuking the devil. And Jesus said, if the devil cast out the devil, how will his kingdom stand? It can happen. You cannot hold on to Satan's goods and take authority over Satan. You cannot do it. The only thing that gives you authority to bind the devil, and he has to hear you, he has to obey you, is you don't have his goods. Sometimes you are watching like a movie. You see what he's doing. You just laugh. Satan, the Bible says in the Psalm, God laughs. Like he has them in derision or something. It's Psalm 2. He laughs. Because he just knows this is foolishness. So our last scripture. Your heart has to be established by grace. Hebrews 13:9. Let's close right here. Close. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love you. If I sound a little harsh, that's just because I'm passionate about this. Forgive me. Hebrews 13:9. Don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Don't tolerate it around your life. Don't let it come into your home. Divers and strange doctrines and talks and questions and things that stir unbelief and doubt. Some believers are even doing Satan's work for him. They carry message from one place and take it to another place. The one Satan can't do, they do it for him. They are Satan's emissaries. There's only one person in the Bible that is described as the accuser of the brethren. It's not you. Why are you joining him in that ministry? He is called the accuser of the brethren. Don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing. Somebody say it's a good thing. Say it is a good thing that the heart is established with grace. Your heart must become established with grace. With the word of God, with love, with faith, with trust in God. The heart must be established with grace. Not with meat, physical things, which have not profited them. What he's saying is all this, Satan is the god of this world. All these things you can touch, you can feel, you can hear, you can eat, you can drink, you can smell. Those things can establish your life. A few of us here attended that wedding last night, beautiful wedding. One of my daughters and her husband now. God bless them. Love both of them, Ruth and David. God bless them. But, you know, when you look at the coming together, every marriage, however many people are married here, you can attest to this. 5 years from the day you get married, you don't remember all the glitz on your wedding day. I mean, you remember, but it doesn't matter anymore. You know what matters? The substance of what God gave you and how you build on it. That's what he's saying. When your heart is established with grace, It takes time for the heart to become established. It does take time. You know why it takes time? Because influence. There's so much influence from the world. There's so much negative influence from the world. That word is getting established. Slowly, it's getting planted. Slowly, Satan comes and steals it away. Sometimes the cares of this world. Sometimes, other situations. You're getting established in that word. You're getting yourself rooted in it. And suddenly it just comes and steals it away. It's almost like you never heard that word. It takes time. And it takes devotion. Devotion. With our families, with our children, with our homes, with ourselves. It takes time. You've got to establish. It is a good thing that the heart is established in grace. With grace. Please stand to your feet. Thank you for letting me minister long. Forgive me, it took a bit longer than usual. The heart must be established with grace. Folks, we must build gates around our heart and fences. While you are standing up, let's close right here. Put up Ecclesiastes 10:8. Put it up. Put it. Let's close here. While you are standing, just look at it on the screen. I'm about to pray. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8. What does it say? He who digs a pit will fall into it. Whosoever breaks a hedge, the serpent will bite them. There's no salvation. There's no salvation from the bite of the viper when it was you who tore down the fence. There's no deliverance from it. There's no deliverance from falling into that pit when it was you who dug that pit. My brothers and my sisters, we have to, the time has come. No matter where we have been, no matter what our experiences have been, no matter what has happened to us in life, no matter what our experience, family, but the personal, whatever, it doesn't matter. The time has come. We have to become established with grace in our hearts. We have to be able to pick and choose like mature children and say, this is not good for me, but this is. We have to develop our spiritual taste buds and say, I'm not going to eat that. It's poison. I don't want it. But this is healthy for me. I want the nutrients I can get from it. That's it. I want the nutrients I can get from this. So then we eat and we chew until we get established in that truth. And our hearts begin to produce good fruits in that area. It's time to wake up. Let's not allow Satan, this stupid serpent, this deceiver, let's not allow him to continue to play games around us. It's time. It's time. We don't have anything that belongs to him. Stay away, Satan. I don't have anything that belongs to you. I am undercover. I am undercover. Folks, join with me in the spirit. We're gonna share the grace together, Pastor Tino. Let's come together and share the grace together. Just join with me. Pray for a minute in the spirit right here. Make a change. Let's make a change together in our hearts. Let's invite him. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man open, I will come in and I will sup with him and I will dine with. Let's open up our hearts, the doors of our hearts. Young and old, let's do it today. It's time. Let's open the door of our hearts. The things that have created spiritual sluggishness, the poison that has sometimes slowed us down, gone, walked up his way to our hearts and stopped us and limited us. Let's get rid of it. It's time. It's time.
Let's come before the Lord with our whole heart today, like we did when we first gave him our lives at the beginning. Let's come before him. Lord, you can have my heart. All of my heart belongs to you. None of my heart belongs to Satan. None of my heart belongs to Satan. All of my heart belongs to you. I walk in obedience. I walk in love. I walk in trust. I walk in faith. I believe the word of God. I'll do everything you tell me to do. All of my heart belongs to you, Jesus. I'm not hearing you pray. Come on, pray, somebody. Pray, please. All of my heart belongs to you, Jesus. Satan does not have any part of me. All of my heart belongs to you, Jesus. You can have all of me. You can have all of me, Lord. You can have all of me, oh God. You can have all of me. Listen for 1 minute. Listen for 1 minute. If you need to exercise grace in forgiveness, do it right now. If you need to exercise grace in repentance, do it right now. If you need to exercise grace in love, do it right now. If you need to exercise grace in trust, do it right now. Whatever you need to do in that heart, do it right now. But let's make a change. Let's open the door of our heart. Let's ask the good shepherd to come in and to fill it. Let's expel the thief in the name of Jesus. There's no room in my heart. There's no room in my life for you. I'm content with Jesus. I'm content with God. I fully adhere to the instructions of the word of God. I obey every command. Obey every command, whether it makes sense or not. I give my heart. I yield all of me to Jesus. You can have all of me. 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 I give up every work of the flesh. My mind will no longer control my life. Come on, go ahead, say it. I give up every work of the flesh. My mind will no longer control my life. I'm not ruled by my emotions. I'm not ruled by my thoughts. I'm not ruled by my feelings. I'm not ruled by my will. No matter how strong my will is, I'm not stubborn. I'm supple in the hands of God. I yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm flexible to his instructions in the name of Jesus. I'm not obstinate. I'm not rebellious. I don't do my own. I don't insist on my own way. No. I give up every work of the flesh. I give up every work of darkness in the name of Jesus. Satan, completely eradicate yourself out of every part of my being, every part of my flesh, every part of my mind. In Jesus' name, I give all that I am to Jesus. I live for him. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I live for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. Hallelujah. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, slander, maligning with the tongue that is supposed to be blessing, maligning. It's over. That's it. It's over. We're done with that. We're done. Completely done with that. Satan has nothing in us. We are children of great grace and spiritual authority and dominion. He couldn't find his way into that garden until he broke through the hedge. 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 The moment they started talking about God, the moment they started suspecting God, the moment they started distrusting God, he broke the hedge. He broke the hedge. They said, "This is what God said." He says, "No, that's not what he meant." He broke the hedge.
And from that moment, humanity has been submerged into chaos and confusion. Let's rebuild the hedges. The Bible says we are repairers of the breach. We are restorers of paths for men to dwell in. Let's restore, let's restore, let's repair, let's repair. No more, no more room, Satan. No more room, Satan. No more room, Satan. Father, we thank you. Let's just bless the name of the Lord. Our God is good. Our Father is awesome. Let's just bless his holy name. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. We praise you. We love you. We praise you. This word is getting in my heart. Make that confession with me. This word is getting in my heart. I am establishing grace in the name of Jesus. This word is getting in my heart. I'm establishing love. I'm establishing trust in God. I'm establishing faith. This word is getting in my heart. In the name of Jesus, I'm establishing favor. I'm establishing glory. I'm established in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We thank you. Amen.